This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch.
With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination.
And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
It's going to be one incredible spring, one even better summer, one unbelievable fall. With Atlanta Sports Trips, there's a goal to take Atlanta and Georgia sports fans on the road to see their favorite teams play. You're a fan of the Bravos. You want to go with us to see the good guys play in Wrigley Field. We have a trip for you August 4th, 5th, and 6th, which is a weekend. Picture Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Wrigley Field with one or two games options to see the Bravos and the Cubbies at Wrigley Field. A very cool meet and greet with Jeff Francoeur that's going to happen Saturday night after game two of that series. Overall, just a fabulous weekend. Now, there are also three Georgia trips up at atlsportstrips.com. A cool local trip bussing from Atlanta to Athens to see Georgia and the Gamecocks. A trip to Knoxville to see the Dogs in Tennessee. And a trip to Nashville, one of my favorite cities, to see Georgia play Vanderbilt. And we've got a Falcons trip planned for you. The Dirty Birds are going to be in New York against the Jets with a date to be determined. Atlanta United trip planned for you coming up Memorial Day weekend. And a Georgia Tech trip to South Florida to see Miami. So you are covered. Everybody is in. All you have to do is book at atlsportstrips.com. A $99 deposit will guarantee your spot on any of the trips. Go to atlsportstrips.com today. All right, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of Welcome to Matlanta. I would be Matt or Matlanta. I didn't give myself the nickname. I earned the nickname. Let's not waste any time. Let's get to this week's edition of Welcome to Matlanta.
All right, so we count down to the NFL draft, and there is no better source and resource that I turn to for all things draft than our friend, our pal, Carlos Medina, front office Los, who has this NFL draft guide, which is going to be very handy for you over the next couple of days and on draft night, available at 680thefan.com. All right, Carlos, we don't have time for pleasantries. Let's get right to this. I always know you have a big board. You live with big boards. Tell me at the top of your big board, the best player in this draft is who?
It's been for the past month. It was when I published. It has not moved. Jalen Carter is my number one overall player for this draft. Again, I'm not really too concerned about the off-the-field stuff, some of the maturity issues, whether it's practice habits. I just know that he's a game wrecker on Saturdays. I expect him to be a game wrecker on Sunday. I have him followed up by Will Anderson, the edge rusher from Alabama, and Bijan Robinson right now is my third overall player, the running back from Texas. That's the way the top of my board looks like.
On Jalen specifically, because I'm sort of with you. Now, again, our jobs aren't on the line attached to players if they are considered to be risks when it comes to some of the things that you know about them. Maybe there's something more we don't know, or maybe it's just misdirection, but I'm blown away by all the talk of, will this team take him? Is he crossed off this team's board? I'm really surprised to hear as much of that, because I think when it gets down to a Thursday night, I think he's coming off the board in the top five like it was going to happen all along.
Well, it's not a drug issue. That's one of the ones that I'd say, okay, red flag, put the dot on there. We've got an issue here. It's not an injury issue. That does cause players to fall down the draft board at times. If this is just an idea of you need to get a 21-year-old man to start acting a little bit more like a 31-year-old man, I think you can kind of figure that out. So for me, if that's the only issue that we're talking about, he's just too good of a player for me to pass up, especially if I have a top five pick.
Let's go through some of Lying Week. And Lying Week is always one that's just so entertaining because there's so much stuff put out by teams, by agents, by all these folks with misdirection in mind. Do you believe Houston will not take a quarterback at two?
I'm starting to actually believe that one to be true, only because, and this is all tied to some of the testing we've seen from C.J. Stroud, and this stuff is starting to get out there. If you aren't aware, you know, we've now gotten rid of the Wunderlich test. We now have a different test, I believe called S2.
Right.
And the idea of all of it is cognitive ability. How quickly can you digest information? And there's a lot of different tests that they give. They give this to middle school level players along with pro style athletes. It's just a different test. And for him to score as poorly as he did, I think that you might be Houston saying, if I don't like this player and maybe I don't like any of the other quarterbacks, maybe I feel okay with going with the best player available in the draft.
All right, so with that in mind then, we all agree it's Bryce Young at one unless something crazy happens. Who's the next quarterback to come off the board and where?
For me, and again, this is just how it goes when it comes to this stuff. I keep believing that, and I went into this entire process thinking that I was really going to like Will Levis. And the more I get into it, I think Will Levis ends up being a player that's pretty interesting. I'll be curious to see if he's able to get past four with the Indianapolis Colts. I also expect at three, I think there's going to be a ton of movement there. I really think that Arizona's sitting on that spot going, they're not taking a quarterback because they've got one in-house. They're already paying the young man. So now what do you do with that spot? I think that's like the prime real estate for whether it's Indianapolis, whether it's Tennessee, somebody who wants to move up in that spot and take a quarterback. That's where I think that spot gets really interesting.
So Seattle then becomes fascinating, too, at five, because that's where I think Jalen Carter could be penciled in. Or because Geno's deal, Geno Smith, who they signed, it's only got 2 years really attached to it. They can get out of it. I wonder if they would consider an Anthony Richardson, who you don't have to play right away, but could develop into their next long-term quarterback.
Yeah, it's a two-year deal that's really a one-year deal. And as long as Geno Smith plays well, then he continues that contract. And so I think that's a perfect landing spot. If you're telling me you get Jalen Carter, I sit back and I say, good for you, you just won. But if you draft Anthony Richardson, which is, again, it's a project, but it's a really intriguing project. We have not seen this kind of dynamic athlete. He's Cam Newton with another step forward as far as speed. That's the kind of big athlete we're talking about here as far as how he tested. If you're telling me that you get to keep him off the field for a year and do it in a perfect place, it's probably Seattle.
I wonder, too, Los, there's been so much talk about all the quarterbacks and Jalen Carter, that what if some scenario, because I think what you said about Arizona being in play for a trade is very realistic, and somebody trading up is typically trading for a quarterback. So if it was Bryce Young, you know, if Houston didn't take Will Anderson and they went a different direction, whatever that looked like, is there a chance Will Anderson could still be on the board at five or six if some quarterback trade stuff comes into play?
That I have a hard time with, only because, again, that's my number two player in this draft. Something would have to kind of come together to push a player of that quality down the draft board. And we've seen it in the past where sometimes you have a guy where something goes on, and because quarterbacks are at a premium, for instance, Kyle Pitts typically in a draft would not be the fourth overall pick, but when the top three are all quarterbacks, suddenly Kyle Pitts is there for you when you're the Atlanta Falcons. That is the only scenario that I can see that. And I also wouldn't be surprised if Houston decides, let's take the pass rusher at two because we like him more so than we like these quarterbacks. And everybody else through that next grouping of teams that doesn't need a quarterback would definitely be willing to take a look at Will Anderson and draft him.
One more note on Jalen Carter, and then I want to talk about the Falcons. If Jalen, for some reason, is still there at six, and you think about what the Lions have in Aiden Hutchinson, and now they could have a game record potentially inside Jalen Carter, is there any way he would get by them?
I have a hard time thinking that he gets past five.
Yeah.
At six, I think that's pretty automatic. Now, if you believe the Raiders, who've talked about removing him from their draft board, I think some of that has to do with some of the situations that they had under Mike Mayock, under John Gruden, where it wasn't like they drafted bad guys. They just did a different process. And I think that they're now looking to say, let's clean this thing up. Let's draft accordingly. Let's make sure and not bring any guys that might be a little bit sketchy or might be a little bit fringy. You know, not bad dudes, but just guys where you're not sure if they can really handle the position. So it wouldn't surprise me if they've entirely decided to remove Jalen Carter.
It's going to be one incredible spring, one even better summer, one unbelievable fall. With Atlanta Sports Trips, there's a goal to take Atlanta and Georgia sports fans on the road to see their favorite teams play. You're a fan of the Bravos. You want to go with us to see the good guys play in Wrigley Field. We have a trip for you August 4th, 5th, and 6th, which is a weekend. Picture Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Wrigley Field with one or two games options to see the Bravos and the Cubbies at Wrigley Field. A very cool meet and greet with Jeff Francoeur that's going to happen Saturday night after game two of that series. Overall, just a fabulous weekend. Now, there are also three Georgia trips up at atlsportstrips.com. A cool local trip bussing from Atlanta to Athens to see Georgia and the Gamecocks. A trip to Knoxville to see the Dogs in Tennessee. And a trip to Nashville, one of my favorite cities, to see Georgia play Vanderbilt. And we've got a Falcons trip planned for you. The Dirty Birds are going to be in New York against the Jets with a date to be determined. Atlanta United trip planned for you coming up Memorial Day weekend, and a Georgia Tech trip to South Florida to see Miami. So you are covered. Everybody is in. All you have to do is book at atlsportstrips.com. A $99 deposit will guarantee your spot on any of the trips. Go to atlsportstrips.com today.
Home field advantage exists in baseball. Insurance, too. Your local trusted choice independent insurance agents are active members of your community. They'll always have your back. Find a local auto, home, or business insurance agent at trustedchoice.com.
Folks, you just heard from Smoltzy, and you heard it from me as well. Clayton Rhodes and the Rhodes Group are my trusted choice for insurance agents. They've been my agent for a long time, and they serve all of Metro Atlanta. To get up to 10 auto insurance quotes in less than 10 minutes, visit rhodes-group.com/churnoff today. That's rhodes-group.com/churnoff.
There are some iconic Atlanta brands that sum up our city perfectly, like Delta, Coca-Cola, and the Old Fort Distillery. Well, great news, folks. Old Fort Distillery is back, and they're better than ever. One of Atlanta's best-known brands is back under new ownership. Old Fort Distillery has big things in store for you in 2023. We're talking Atlanta-made vodka, Atlanta-made gin, and Atlanta-aged bourbon. You hear the theme there? Atlanta, Atlanta, Atlanta. Old Fort Distillery, back to our roots, using original recipes that Old Fort was originally founded on. New owners, same brand, better products. Find Old Fort brands available at most Atlanta retail locations or online at o4d.com. That's o4d.com. Old Fort is Atlanta's first distillery since Prohibition. Find Southern Spirits, established in 2014.
All right, let's talk about the Falcons now, who at 8. Let's start with the premise that they stay at 8. And I like to use these terms. There's a lot of noise around certain guys as we get closer to the draft. And it's gotten louder and louder on Bijan Robinson, the way it got louder and louder on Kyle Pitts, and maybe the way it got louder on Drake London. How realistic, if they stay at 8, is Bijan to the Falcons?
I have been an advocate for that for probably the better part of 3 to 4 weeks, in part because it's my number 3 overall player on my board. I believe him to be 1,500 yards in the NFL for the next 3 or 4 years. Like, he's that kind of talented of a player where immediately the offense takes an even bigger jump forward. I really liken it. I know you've talked about it in terms of talking about the effect that Michael Turner had on Matt Ryan. I'll give you an even different one when you talk about a draft pick. Dak Prescott had a much easier time in 2016 as a rookie with Zeke Elliott.
Sure.
Okay? Like, so much easier with Zeke Elliott, you know, standing behind him that he could hand him the football. That's the kind of effect that I believe Bijan Robinson would have on a Desmond Ridder as a first-time NFL starter over the course of 17 games.
Well, you don't expose him, right? If we all assume, and Dak has turned into something maybe nobody saw the ceiling of, we don't know what Ridder's ceiling is, but if I just said it conservatively that Desmond at best can be a middle-of-the-pack quarterback, and I'm hoping for more, but if I just said that's what he could be, if I have my 65 or 70 offensive snaps, can control 25 of them to Bijan, 15 of them to Tyler Algier, and then the rest to spreading it out to some Pitts and some London and some Patterson, Jonnu Smith, like, that protects Desmond Ridder in a way that I don't think much else can.
And it completely changes the look of this offense from just 2 years ago. I'll also bring up another player here, and this can be a little bit of something where you would kind of scratch your head and say, okay, but it has the same effect. If you end up getting the guard Skoronski from Northwestern there, and he's your pick at 8, I'm not worried about it because I just put together what I believe to be one of the best offensive lines, especially in the NFC South, but perhaps the entirety of the NFC is now playing in front of my young quarterback. So it's the same kind of effect that if I've got the two best guards in the conference, I feel like I've got something pretty good for Desmond Ridder.
No, I think there are very few wrong answers in this. Now, there's always a surprise none of us are expecting, but like Nolan Smith, there's a lot of noise about Nolan. Right around 8, and I just Los knew that the NFL teams would fall in love with Nolan because we all saw his interactions both with the media and we heard about his time in Georgia off the field, and then we saw the combine explosion in Indianapolis. So this was not a shock the way it's happened. Some might not like the idea of Nolan at 8, but you can see Ryan Nielsen and the Falcons sort of being excited about some of the possibilities with him there.
I have to imagine that when you get him in a room, you fall in love with him. Because even when we had the short opportunities to interview him over the last several years, he's an outstanding kid. And when you think about what he did 2 years ago when, you know, the whole discussion is between, you know, Stetson Bender, should be another quarterback, and he said, this is our guy. That rang throughout the entirety of that program. So there's a magnetism to him. There's something about him that you just say, you know, guy can make plays. He helped win you a national championship by sacking Bryce Young to end a game. So you've got some history there. It just for me, again, I have him as a top 15 player. I just don't have him as a top 10 player. But if he gets there, it's because he does have freakish athleticism.
So let's talk about some trade scenarios because, again, there's a lot of noise now about the Falcons trying to move out of 8. That could all be misdirection or there could be some reality to it. And here's where I think it has some reality. And this all depends on how the quarterbacks fall, right? If they all come off the board right away, it probably limits some of the trade possibilities. But if Houston does not take a quarterback at 2,
and they're sitting there again at 12, and they see the run starting on the quarterbacks, and they want to trade back up, and I'll use the Falcons as the spot. If you're Atlanta and you could trade back to 12, maybe pick up Houston's second-round pick, which is number 33 overall, and maybe get another later pick in this draft or another draft. Los, what about the idea of maybe taking Nolan Smith at 12, looking at a guy like Jahmyr Gibbs at 33, and you solve a couple of things you like there, and you get some extra assets?
I love the idea. If it's Nolan Smith at 12, if it's Miles Murphy, who again, that's also the defensive end from Clemson. He was also in to the Falcons facility on one of their 30 visits. Again, you only get 30 of them. They used one of them on Nolan Smith. They used one of them on Murphy as well. So if you're telling me that I'm moving down, I'm picking up a little bit of draft capital, and I'm still getting, in my opinion, an option to pick, you know, one of the better pass rushers in this draft, one of the better edge guys outside of Will Anderson, then I think that's a victory.
The other thing I think to consider in the trade market is number 11 with Tennessee. Arthur Smith has the relationship with Tennessee. They have at least rumored to be listening on Ryan Tannehill, so they could be in the trade market for a quarterback. A lot of this contingent on what Houston does at 2 and one of these quarterbacks being available. So let me ask you, if we talked about Stroud and some of the cognitive stuff, is he the one that would be most likely to be there? Or is there any of these other quarterbacks you think, and I hate using words like slip because that's not a real thing, that would still be available on the board?
To me, I think it's more Anthony Richardson, but again, you're talking about a freakish athleticism. I look at the quarterbacks at the top, and I think this is what we've had that's played out. Bryce Young has established himself as the greatest processor of information in this draft. Again, he was 99 on his S2 exams. So everyone realizes, okay, if you can get past the size, then you can get past that. And I think that's what you're going to have Carolina end up doing. But then when you move down the line, you can take a guy like Will Levis and say, I see the freaky arm, I see the athleticism, I see the brain, I like this. Then we get to, all right, if C.J. Stroud doesn't process information that well, but he's a better quarterback than Anthony Richardson, maybe I should take C.J. Stroud instead. And so one of those guys, I think, ends up being kind of that floating guy that I don't think either one of them gets outside of the top 10. But if one of them happened to slip and make it to 12, that would be kind of surprising. But again, it would be just because the other teams that look at something that they have, whether it's a cognitive issue or I haven't played a ton issue, and say, we're just not going to make the move here at 9-10.
Let me ask you about two other position groups for the Falcons, whether it's at 8 or they trade back. The two corners of Christian Gonzalez and Devin Witherspoon, which do you like more and which could fit the Falcons best?
Christian Gonzalez is number 6 on my board because he can do everything on a football field in terms of man and zone. You have Devin Witherspoon that's predominantly a zone corner. Now, he's outstanding at it. Okay, he gets his hands on the football constantly. That's why I have him as a 9th overall player on the board. But if you told me I want the bigger, more dynamic athlete that can do more, I'm going to take Christian Gonzalez. And my one pain point here, and we brought this up a little earlier in the week, the Atlanta Falcons, as of now, when it came to their 30 visits and their combine visits and their pro day visits, have yet to use one of them on Gonzalez or Witherspoon. They have talked to a number of other cornerbacks that are down further in the draft. It sounds a lot more like cornerback is something they're going to consider in the second, third, fourth rounds and not at the top of this draft.
It's going to be one incredible spring, one even better summer, one unbelievable fall. With Atlanta Sports Trips, there's a goal to take Atlanta and Georgia sports fans on the road to see their favorite teams play. You're a fan of the Bravos. You want to go with us to see the good guys play in Wrigley Field. We have a trip for you August 4th, 5th, and 6th, which is a weekend. Picture Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Wrigley Field with one or two games options to see the Bravos and the Cubbies at Wrigley Field. A very cool meet and greet with Jeff Francoeur that's going to happen Saturday night after game 2 of that series. Overall, just a fabulous weekend. Now, there are also 3 Georgia trips up at atlsportstrips.com. A cool local trip bussing from Atlanta to Athens to see Georgia and the Gamecocks. A trip to Knoxville to see the Dogs in Tennessee. And a trip to Nashville, one of my favorite cities, to see Georgia play Vanderbilt. And we've got a Falcons trip planned for you. The Dirty Birds are going to be in New York against the Jets with a date to be determined. Atlanta United trip planned for you coming up Memorial Day weekend, and a Georgia Tech trip to South Florida to see Miami. So you are covered. Everybody is in. All you have to do is book at atlsportstrips.com. A $99 deposit will guarantee your spot on any of the trips. Go to atlsportstrips.com today.
Hey, are you tired of shopping your car and home insurance every single year? Well, somebody's got to do it. But that somebody doesn't have to be you. At The Rose Group, we can get you up to 10 insurance quotes in less than 10 minutes. Visit us online today at rose-group.com.
There are some iconic Atlanta brands that sum up our city perfectly, like Delta, Coca-Cola, and the Old Fourth Distillery. Well, great news, folks. Old Fourth Distillery is back, and they're better than ever. One of Atlanta's best-known brands is back under new ownership. Old Fourth Distillery has big things in store for you in 2023. We're talking Atlanta-made vodka, Atlanta-made gin, and Atlanta-aged bourbon. You hear the theme there? Atlanta, Atlanta, Atlanta. Old Fourth Distillery, back to our roots using original recipes that Old Fourth was originally founded on. New owners, same brand, better products. Find Old Fourth brands available at most Atlanta retail locations or online at O4D.com. That's O4D.com. Old Fourth is Atlanta's first distillery since Prohibition. Fine Southern Spirits, established in 2014.
You had mentioned Miles Murphy, some of the edge possibility. Lucas Van Ness, I know a lot of differing opinions have come up on him, and you have an interesting thought on Tyree Wilson, and that's another one that's split in a lot of people's mind.
Yeah, Tyree Wilson has all of the prerequisites that you want for the position in terms of a 4-3 end or a 3-4 outside linebacker, because he's got the size, he's got the strength, he's got some of the numbers, what he's been able to put together. It's just there's a lack of burst on tape. And so that's the trade-off that goes on within this draft. When you watch a guy like Miles Murphy or Nolan Smith, there's clearly burst off the line of scrimmage. Drew Sanders, the inside linebacker from Arkansas, who also rushes off the edge, he ended up recording, believe it ended up being 9.5 sacks last year as an edge rusher. You see the burst off the line of scrimmage. You just don't see that with Wilson. But he's got the prerequisite of size. He's got the stuff where you can say he can play against offensive tackles all day long. So that's kind of where we're at in this draft, where once you get outside of the top pass rusher in Will Anderson, now you're getting into an area where the guys are talented, but they either have, they're really big without burst, or they're small, they got the burst, but they're not very big.
Let me ask you about the offensive lineman. You mentioned Skoronski, which would feel like plug and play at guard. And I know some have the idea that he can move the tackle, but there's the short arm issue that's been talked about. What about the other two tackles, Paris Johnson or Broderick Jones, if the Falcons wanted to look at them? Do they? And this sounds dumb because we all think if you can play tackle, you can move inside, but I don't feel like it's as easy as it once was. Could one of those guys start at guard if need be?
Broderick Jones probably more so, just because his talent that he has, especially when it comes to playing at Georgia, he's so good at pulling. Like, athleticism to be able to get out in space, find targets, you know, hit guys on the move, that is his talent. That is what is going to make him a first-round pick. Paris Johnson also played guard, but he doesn't have the same athleticism that Broderick Jones has. But if you want to tell me which player I think is a better player, I have Paris Johnson as my 8th overall. I have Broderick Jones as my 13th overall. Paris Johnson is just huge. He's a mountain. He's 6'6", 313 pounds. If I project that he can play guard for a year or two and then he becomes my long-term left tackle, that's the good use of an 8th overall pick.
I want to ask you about a couple of local players in a moment, but first let's talk about Hendon Hooker, because that, again, there's a lot of noise around Hendon Hooker finding his way into the first round. For instance, you just saw the Jets and the Packers make their deal for Aaron Rodgers. That seems like it would be high, but if Green Bay, for whatever reason, isn't in love with Jordan Love, would they consider Hendon Hooker, or are you not believing the noise?
I'm so curious about this player because you hear stuff that's all across the board. When you put in the tape, the deep ball is a lot of fun, and he's very accurate with it. But then in terms of just, okay, play the position and let's see how well you play the intermediate stuff at Tennessee, this didn't seem to do it a whole lot. And so Hendon Hooker, if you tell me that you're in love with him and you want to make sure that you get him, well, it's entirely possible he ends up sliding in to the back end of the first round somehow, or somebody moves up to get that fifth-year option. But also keep in mind, you are getting one of the older players in this draft. He is one of those six-year guys, so we are talking about a 25-year-old prospect at this point.
All right, let's finish up by talking about the local kids. Let's start at Georgia. Darnell Washington's name has been mocked all over the board. There's obviously stuff to love because he does fit into that sixth offensive lineman with athleticism at 6'6 or 6'7 and 275. Where do you see him landing?
I think that he's going to be one of those guys that if you're telling me that I can, like, and this is me being selfish, the Dallas Cowboys at 26 need themselves a tight end. And if I'm getting somebody in 6'7", 264, I've seen the comparisons in terms of the testing data. He tested on a level as Rob Gronkowski.
okay, as far as size, speed, what he was able to do, that's pretty impressive stuff. And so if you tell me who is a safer tight end to go with, I know that you know some people get a little bit crazy when it comes to Michael Mayer. He's my third tight end. I like Luke Musgrave better from Oregon State. I like Dalton Kincaid from Utah. But when it comes to Darnell Washington, I think that's a player that if he's on the board by the time we get to like 40, something weird has gone on. I think this guy is going to end up sliding into the back end or the first round or the top end of the second.
What about Kelee Oringo? And I wonder, because a lot of the mocks have him in the second round. I don't get carried away with the mocks, but I wonder if he gets the Georgia kind of extra little juice and finds his way to the first round because they've had so much success with defensive players lately.
Well, the issue you have here, and it's not with Kelee Oringo. I think he's an outstanding player. Again, he's one of my players on the board. If I'm remembering correctly, I had him right at 35. So, I mean, it's one of the guys I thought he's a pretty talented player. It's just that this top of this draft has a lot of interesting cornerbacks. You know, we talked about the Christian Gonzalez's of the world, the Devin Witherspoons. You know, Joey Porter Jr. is a pretty interesting quarterback from Penn State. Emmanuel Forbes over at Mississippi State, you know, 6'1", he's 166 pounds, he's small, but he's a player. Deontay Banks is another really good player from Maryland. So this isn't really about Kelee Oringo being a non-first-round quality guy. It's just that there's going to be some other cornerbacks I think will be selected before him that just have a little bit more quality than he does. But I still think, you know, top of the second round, you know, early second-round guy.
Let's talk about two Georgia Tech players. I mentioned Jahmyr Gibbs, who he got, whether it was fair or not, he got a lot of Alvin Kamara comparisons in his college career, and maybe the NFL sees that comp as well. I could see him sliding into the first round or being just a wonderful second-round pick for somebody.
Yeah, and the discussion point there is legitimate. He's not a between-the-tackles player on a regular basis, but he's a weapon, and you can get him out in space, and you can run the route tree with him. So if you're going to be creative and realize that you're drafting kind of a, you know, not a novelty piece, but one of those players that just, you're not going to give him the ball 20, 25 times. It's just not the way you're going to play him because Alabama found out. They did it two times, and then they never did it again the remainder of the year. That's the kind of player you're getting.
He also could be, if you're just being, you know, from the Falcon prison, boy, what a compliment to Tyler Allgeier if they were to find that lightning to the thunder aspect of it. What about Keon White, who, he's huge, he's athletic, he played tight end at one point, but I wonder, is he one of those guys that has the size, maybe without the burst that you mentioned earlier?
That was the thing that jumped out to me. There's just that lack of burst. Now, again, you talk about that size. It's 6'5", and it's 285, so doesn't really matter what kind of front you put him in. He's going to be able to play it. He played both sides of the line of scrimmage. He could stand up and put his hand on the ground, so you don't really question that. But the reason why he's my 40th overall player is because I think he's a really nice player, but just doesn't have that elite burst off the line of scrimmage. We talk about the 10-yard split, and the top pass rushers end up doing that at a 1.6. That is their 10-yard split. 1 second, 1.6 seconds is what they typically do. We don't have a number for Keon White. We don't have a number for this for even Tyree Wilson, because some of these guys that we question their burst, they just decided not to test. They just said, oh, I'm not going to test on it. And so, you know, Will Anderson, for example, he ended up with like a 1.63. So you went, okay, the elite burst off the line of scrimmage that top-end pass rushers have, he has it. Same thing with Nolan Smith. Some of these guys, we don't have a number for them.
It leaves you just literally to guess, and maybe, you know, it's the you know, the scary part is they might not have it, and in their mind, why should I show it?
Why prove to you right that I don't have it?
Yeah. Front Office Lowe's draft guide is awesome. It's 680thefan.com. He'll be a part of our draft coverage on Thursday night, depending on when you're listening to this, as a part of our live draft show from 6 until 10. Carlos, you are a mensch. Thank you, my friend.
It's going to be so much fun, Matt. Looking forward to it. Welcome to
Atlanta. Thanks, everybody, so much for taking the time to listen to this week's edition of Welcome to Atlanta. Thanks to our producer, Matt Lear, for his assistance with the program. He's the glue that keeps the operation running. We'll talk to you next week on Welcome to Atlanta.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.